Reform Voices of Torah, Union for Reform Judaism, Shabbat, July 4th, 2015, 17 Tammuz, 5775, Parashat Balak, Numbers 22:2 through 25:9, Haftarah, Micah 5:6 through 6:8, Devar Torah, Whose Word Is It Anyway? By Rabbi Stephen Kushner. Blessed is the one who spoke, and the word came to be. From Psukei Dezimra, Morning Liturgy. It is among the most central of Jewish values, the power of the word. God created the universe by speaking it into being. The Torah, the link connecting God and Israel, is also known as Mikra, that which is verbally called. And the most essential communications of that sacred text, the Ten Commandments, are not actually referred to in the Jewish tradition as commandments, but rather as Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Utterances. The Word is the currency of covenant. God speaks to us and we listen, Shema Yisrael. Among the most serious breaches of our relationship with the divine is to utter God's name in vain. Conversely, when our daughters and sons come of age to assume their place within the structure of that covenant, we ask them to master the word. The list goes on and on. This dynamic is especially present in Sefer Bamidbar, the Book of Numbers, the name of which is rooted in the letters Dalet, Beit, Resh, the same letters that form the Hebrew for word, Dvar, and to speak, Ledaber. It is here in Bamidbar that Moses receives his death sentence for hitting the rock to bring forth water, instead of speaking to it as he was instructed. It is in this book that Miriam and Aaron slander their brother Moses, questioning, has the Eternal spoken only through Moses? Has God not spoken through us as well? And it is here in Bamidbar that Eldad and Medad are found speaking publicly in ecstasy, leading Moses to wonder, would that all the Eternal's people were prophets. That, indeed, is the question. Prophecy is the dynamic of the divine word as communicated through the human being. Any chance of us mortals being able to hear the word of God was put to an end when the people, standing in abject fear at the foot of the mountain, said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will obey, but let not God speak to us lest we die." Exodus 20:16. As Richard Elliot Friedman points out in The Disappearance of God, the Eternal never again speaks directly to an entire human community. Now the word would come only through an intermediary, a prophet. And that brings us to Parashat Balak. In some ways, the narrative of this week's Torah portion is pretty much the same as those that have preceded it. The Israelites are wandering. Along the way, they encounter obstacles that require military response. But this time, hearing the stories of Israel's improbable victories, Balak, the Moabite king, decides to enlist a prophet, Balaam, to see if God's word can be used against Israel. Needless to say, both Balak and Balaam fail. Instead of getting cursed, Israel is blessed, Balaam says. Ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov, mishkonotecha Yisrael. How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel. In this story, however, are much deeper issues. It is not insignificant that we have a non-Israelite prophet. Balaam is a Gentile. In other words, God doesn't speak just to Israelites. By the same token, God also speaks through animals in this story, namely an ass, which of course is to say, it's the message, not the messenger. This so far is obvious. The more important question is, what is the story trying to teach us? Indeed, if Balaam is a vessel for the word of God, then what is it that he does that is so wrong? After all, even Balaam admits, I can utter only the word that God puts into my mouth. This is what I think. The story of Balak and Balaam is a cautionary tale of prophecy gone bad. It is an illustration of what prophecy is not supposed to be. This is not to be confused with false prophecy. Anyone, of course, can pretend to be a prophet. Anyone can stand before a community and say they have received the word of God. But this is worse. Balaam is genuinely a mouthpiece for God. Torah affirms this when, in the course of the story, God actually speaks to him. What is problematic is that both Balak and Balaam attempt to manipulate God. More to the point, they attempt to manipulate God's word. To be sure, they fail. But the lesson is unmistakable. The role of the prophet is to be a conduit for the word of God, nothing more. In other words, it should not be about what we want from God, but rather the other way around. The message still applies today. There are no more prophets. The tradition is not clear why prophecy ceased. Perhaps it is as simple as this. Nothing more needs to be said. God told us everything we need to hear, as was recorded in the text of Torah, and the prophets emphasized and reinforced the core of these messages in their own communications. Now it is up to us to do the word. In Exodus 19:8, the children of Israel say, "All that the Eternal has said, we will do." Even the rabbis of the Talmud understood this when, in the story of Achnai's oven, we are taught, "But Rabbi Joshua arose and exclaimed, 'It is not in heaven.'" What did he mean by this? Said Rabbi Jeremiah, that the Torah had already been given at Mount Sinai. "We pay no attention to a heavenly voice, because you have long since written in the Torah at Mount Sinai," Babylonian Talmud Baba Matzia 59b. But we must be very careful. Those of us who adhere to the religious life need to be very cautious when it comes to embracing the word, so-called, of God. Simply put, do I have the right to speak in the name of God? A number of years ago, Emanuel Cleaver, the then mayor of Kansas City, shared with the attendees of a Reform Biennial Convention about his ability to hear the word of God. In addition to his political life, Mr. Cleaver is also a minister. But as he shared with those in attendance that he was certain he could hear the word of God, he also admitted there were more than a few times when he was unclear whether it was God speaking to him or it was the voice of Emanuel Cleaver coming to him in disguise. Prophecy is powerful and sacred and potentially even dangerous stuff. The true prophet never seeks out the word of God. On the contrary, he resists it, and he certainly never tries to manipulate it. The prophet is just the mouthpiece, nothing more. Indeed, the prophet Micah eloquently put it in perspective. God demands only three things of us: to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. The operative word here is humbly. Balak tried and failed to manipulate the word of God. Balaam, perhaps enamored with his God-given ability, allowed himself to be seduced into thinking he had influence with God. Not quite. When it came to prophecy, that gift was exclusively reserved for Moses, whose name, interestingly, never appears in this story, perhaps to resist any comparisons. Indeed, as Torah comes to an end, we are told clearly and without equivocation, never again would there be a prophet like Moses in Deuteronomy 34:10. In other words, Balaam was no Moses. Rabbi Stephen Kushner is concluding his 35th year as the rabbi of Temple Ner Tamid in Bloomfield, New Jersey.